Messiah's Branch Broadcast, a one-hour prophecy program on the American Voice Radio Network, featuring Pastor Dan of Messiah's Branch Ministry. And now, here's Pastor Dan.
Greetings, saints, and welcome to the Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour. We are broadcasting live from the Flint Hills of Kansas, and we're on the American Voice Radio Network. Today's date is June 11, 2015. Saints, the world is in turmoil. Most just don't realize it, but we are in the time of the end, and that's the time before Messiah's glorious return. So it's time to get out of sin, the world, and look to the holy city. Look to the one who suffered and died for you. Please make this choice tonight. If you need help after this program, call me. I'll pray for you or with you. If you get the machine, please leave your name, your number, your prayer request, and or message. The phone number, of course, is 620-878-4682. 620-878-4682. In an emergency, my cell phone number is 316-619-4886. Or you can do like some people do. They go to prophecyhour.com and use the email and send me the prayer request and email, and I pray for them, and they also include their phone number if you want to call back. So you can do that also. So there's three different ways that you can get a hold of us. Anyway, you can always find the updates of the breaking news, our ministry, radio program archives, and our mailing address at our blog, which is simply prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. And we are a national satellite radio program, which is simulcast, also on the net internationally. So please pray about supporting airtime. Satellite airtime is not free. Our program archives can be found at prophecyhour.com and branch.podomatic.com. Both are very smartphone friendly. In fact, branch.podomatic.com has an Apple and an Android app that you can get to listen to it on your smartphone. But they're both smartphone friendly. You don't even have to download any apps to play those programs. You can either click play or download them to your computer, cell phone, or whatever. Or if you folks, people are listening on radio, you don't need to do anything but just listen. So anyway, pray about it. And I challenge you folks to share with at least two or three other people these radio programs. Now prayer, and we'll bring on tonight's guest. Dear Heavenly Father, in Yeshua HaMashiach's name I pray. Father, I pray that radio tonight goes according to your will and not mine. And please, Father, give everyone out there ears in which to hear the truth and understand the truth. So please, Father, bless this program tonight in your mighty Son's name, Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen and amen. Well, first I want to thank the folks out there who are listening in various cities like Wichita, Kansas, Raleigh, North Carolina, Plano, Texas, San Diego, California, L.A., California, and many other cities in the United States. A special thanks, though, goes to the folks that are listening in places like the United Kingdom, Indonesia, Australia, New Zealand, China, Turkey, and a host of other countries. Please share these programs with others, as we are warning the world as it happens, and we try to bring you the best guests and the most accurate information. But with all things, you need to take it to prayer and pray about it. Tonight's guest has been on with us many times before. I keep bringing back on because so many people like to hear from him. He's been speaking much about Daniel 8 and many other subjects. He's an Army veteran that served his country in Korea. He's traveled the country as an evangelist. And there is much more to the story, and you can find all that at surewordofprophecy.org. That's surewordofprophecy.org. Prophecy.org, which is also the name of his ministry, Sure Word of Prophecy. Tonight, he is going to talk about the calculated hatred towards the holy place. Well, welcome back, Steve Henderson. Are you there with me, Steve? Steve? Are you there with me? Are you there? Steve, are you with me? Well, folks, it may be we're having a technical difficulty. I don't know. I think I'm still on the air, but I don't believe. Oh, you're on. Did you drop your phone?
I don't know what happened, brother. Apparently, this must be a pretty good program for us to get adversity this quick, huh?
Yeah, you could say that. In fact, it happened with somebody about 2 weeks ago from Israel, two guests from Israel, that apparently the devil didn't want us to hear from Israel, and so, we didn't even get the program, so we did something else. But anyway.
Greetings and peace to you, Pastor Dan. I want to know how your wife's doing before we get started.
Okay, just a short update. And first off, folks, let me address them first. Folks, I just did my Mission Watch program at 5 o'clock Central. I did that program, and it will be up in archives, which I went through the whole program, and we used it to tell you exactly what happened to her and an update on her. Go listen to it because it's a real story of faith. Steve, in this instance, while she does have an aneurysm, we're waiting to go see the doctor tomorrow, and they're going to do something like it's called a wrap to keep it from bursting. Her aneurysm is in the main carotid artery just before you get to the brain, and but it's a miracle that we found it, because you understand that she had the symptoms of a stroke, but this aneurysm did not cause that. They found they said it was just an extra thing that we were able to find it. They ended up diagnosing her thing as having Bell's palsy. And if you look up Bell's palsy, it means they don't know what caused it. And so she had the symptoms of a stroke. They don't know what caused it. She should fully recover from that. But because of that, we found this aneurysm that's sitting in the brain, well, right below the base of the brain in a carotid artery, that could go off like a time bomb and kill her. In fact, they said it was genetic, and her sister died of one and her dad died of one. So, but praise the Lord, we're going to go in and get it fixed, and she's not going anywhere.
Absolutely. That was revealed to you through another issue, so you could head that off before trouble came. I want you to know, brother, that I am lifting you up and your wife and family, especially during this time of troubling news. But the good news is we know who's in control, right, brother?
Amen.
When things come to blindside you, it's so imperative to walk in faith and not sight. You know, if you base your belief on what you see in your circumstances, it will just flat overwhelm you. So Yahweh stands above the giants, brother. So our prayers are going up for you and your family, especially in this time of need, brother.
Yeah, amen. Thanks for the prayers and to everybody out there that's been praying, but most definitely, and that was the first thing that I did when I found out that she had an aneurysm, is I got on my knees and prayed. And so, amen. But anyway, you're going to talk about some other things besides my wife tonight, aren't you?
Yes. In fact, I'm going to talk about some other giants that we're looking at. The concerns giants and land are staring right in the face of Israel with murderous intent. And these monstrous situations appear too large for this small little island of a big sea, surrounded by anti-Jewish, anti-Israel, anti-Semitic antagonists who pray for Israel to just go away and die. And so I'm going to talk about the world opinion that's swiftly turning against the only sane country in the midst of a bunch of angry militant regimes that are hell-bent on their destruction. And it's very apparent to me, Pastor Dan, that we're heading toward a final showdown here. So that's what I'd like to talk about tonight.
Yeah, amen. I agree with you. We are headed fast towards something. But let's hear what you got to say. I'm really can't wait to hear.
Okay, well, let's start with a couple of headlines. I think that would just kind of set the stage for what we're getting into this evening. And, you know, Yahweh's always loved Israel, and yeah, it's his place, and Jerusalem has his name on it forever, in fact. And so when you look at the prophecies that talk about the end and where the focus is going, it all started there, and it's all going back down there. And so you look at the news, and the recent Times of Israel article said 170,000 rockets are aimed at Israel's cities, says IDF intel head Avi Kovavi, says the missile threat against the Iran nuclear program is evident. Jerusalem Post, the defense minister, one of the homeland defense ministers, Gilad Erdan, said enemies have 200,000 rockets and missiles pointed at Israel. And then it says Israel's enemies, including Hezbollah, has 200,000 rockets and missiles pointed at Israel, and he said Tuesday at Israel's Perils and Prospects Conference. Another article, just May 21st, 2015, a little less than 3 weeks ago, Iranian official claims Hezbollah has 80,000 rockets pointed at Israel, and it says that Yahya Sabavi threatened Israel once again, and in no uncertain terms, claiming the Zionists and U.S. are aware of the power of Iran and Hezbollah, and they know that over 80,000 Iranian missiles are ready to rain down on Tel Aviv and Haifa. Here's another article. Syrian, I just lost my place here. Excuse me, just a sec. Syrian missiles aimed at Israel. It says here in this article, Syria has 500 Scud missiles like those pictured here aimed at Israel, Israel's Channel 2 is reporting. Citing Lebanese media, Channel 2 says that in the last several days, Syrian forces have deployed Russian-made missiles near the border with the Jewish state. Another article just recently out of the Haaretz magazine, Israel magazine, photos suggest Saudis targeting Iran and Israel with ballistic missiles. And this was cited out of the Daily Telegraph from the Haaretz. It says analysis examined the satellite images from surface-to-surface missile base deep in Saudi desert and spotted two launch pads with markings pointing toward west, toward Tel Aviv, and one toward Tehran. So it's very evident to me, brother, that that there's something very clearly going on with an evil intent toward Israel. Just yesterday, June 11th, the article says International Criminal Court planning to send delegation to examine complaints against Israel. And what they propagate in this article is if a delegation is going to arrive in the area by the end of June, the Palestinian officials say, adding that Russia and China promised to veto any U.S. proposal in Security Council to delay in this investigation. What is it about? Well, it's about the war that happened back in July and June, July of last year with Hamas. And it says that a delegation from the prosecutor's office of the International Criminal Court at The Hague is due to arrive in Israel on June 27th as part of the prosecution's preliminary examination into whether war crimes and crimes against humanity have been committed in the occupied Palestinian territories, according to a senior Palestinian source. So what started the war? Well, you know, if you remember, brother, it started when Hamas rained down 4,500, not 4,000, but 4,500 rockets fired by Hamas and its allies, and 875 of them fell inside their own territory. And many were lobbed at Israel's soldiers during the ground offensive, but others were duds or misfires that landed short, meaning Hamas dropped explosives on its own people. And they were shielding themselves behind human shields as Israel was firing back to try to defend herself with this entourage of 4,500 rockets. And now the issue is that Israel is at fault. And another article came out of the Jerusalem Post, which I'll read just a little bit. I find quite amusing, but at the same time very tragic. The article entitled Arab and Muslim States Question Israel's Right to Defend Itself at the UNHRC. Now, I don't know about you, brother, but something just thought about this. You know, can you imagine what would happen if someone threw just 100 rockets over into New York City, how we would react? And do you think we would defend ourselves over something like that?
Well, of course.
Yeah, sure we would. And here's an article that says that the Arab and Muslim states are questioning the right for Israel to defend itself. And in this article, it says this: Israel is the only country at the United Nations which is debated by the Human Rights Council at every session. Describing Israel's action in Gaza as self-defense is both, listen, legally incorrect and morally abhorrent, said Pakistan, speaking on behalf of the Organization of Islamic Cooperation. As the occupying power, Israel does not have the right to defend itself from Hamas, a group which is under its control, said the United Arab Emirates, speaking on behalf of the Arab group at the UN. The countries were among some 30 nations that spoke against Israel's actions in Gaza and the West Bank, and they included Russia and China, of the Security Council. Why is it the focus of this one tiny little place, and why speak evil of a country who tries to defend itself against such genocidal intent? I just don't understand that. But we're going to have to dig a little bit deeper and try to figure out what in the world's going on here. And according to the good book, it says quite a bit about this conflict. Maybe not in the exact terms and some in exact terms, but we're hoping to look at some scriptures and consider some things. Look, Brother Dan, as it stands today, North Korea remains an entire country that's essentially a large concentration camp. Talk about atrocity. You know, look at the main complaint against Israel is they occupy their eternal capital, Jerusalem. It's theirs, though. You know, they ought to live where the Elohim placed them forever. And no, the Palestinians say it's their place, and it's Islam's. And that is a big issue today. Tibet, one of the mankind's oldest cultures, continues to be occupied and destroyed by China. So what's the difference, you see? Go ahead.
Let me intercede for a minute. You know, our problem right now, one of the problems that we're facing, we're not understanding, is history. People have forgotten their history. They forgot that the Palestinians, they came from the Palestinian Liberation Army, the PLO, which was the biggest terrorist organization in the world. And you hijacked airplanes and killed people and slaughtered people like at Munich. But the point is the answer is simple for all of it. They will not let Israel exist because, you know, the Bible says that they will not want Israel to exist. And in the end times, the time of the end, they would all the nations come against Israel. And that's simply what's happened. So that means that it pushes us, doesn't it, into a time closer to our Messiah's return.
Amen, brother. And, you know, even like I think I've said before here on the program, the storm's coming through. But on the backside of that, the storm's not going to stay around. There's going to be a bright and beautiful day happen after the storm. So we better get prepared. You know, what I don't understand is when you all of the accusations against Israel, when you look at other places, what about the Russian occupation of Crimea and the soon-coming besiegement that's going to take place in Ukraine there? Somalia no longer exists as a country. It's an anarchic state in which the cruelest and strongest prevail, and this makes it mainly Islamic. In Congo, between 1998 and 2003, about 5.5 million people were killed, nearly the same number as Jews murdered in the Holocaust. You didn't hear much about that, you know. In Syria, about 250,000 people have been killed in the last 2 years, and millions have been rendered homeless. Of course, we know in Iraq, there's mass murder from terror bombings every week, and millions have been displaced from their homes, churches bulldozed down. Hundreds of thousands of refugees live out in tents, wondering where their next meal's coming from, and we're worried about Israel. How about Iran, a genocide-advocating theocratic dictatorship? It's very near having the capacity to make nuclear weapons, and it's incarcerating hundreds of dissidents who don't agree with their theocracy, and they have pastors and other people in prison that are unlawfully being kept there because of the religious beliefs. What about ISIS? My goodness. Exterminating Christian communities all throughout the Middle East, wiping out, beheading Christians, women sold into slavery, daughters raped and forced to be brides of killers. Where is the International Criminal Court investigators on this mass slaughter of the most human atrocity since we witnessed since Hitler? And, you know, we know the 20th century was bloody, but we're only in the 15th year of the 21st century. And my goodness, Pastor Dan, where is all the crying out against all of these atrocities? But what it seems to me like we're just hearing a whole bunch about Israel and the crimes that they're committing. When they only killed like 600 Palestinians in that June and July Hamas war, but only because they were defending themselves from the thousands of rockets that were coming their way.
Well, woe into that day where they call good evil and evil good. That's what's going on. And that's the same thing as, well, in the United States, it's coming against Christianity in a strong, what it seems minor with the gay thing. Wait till the Supreme Court says that, if they do, says that gay marriage is a right. You're going to see such an attack against Christians that your pastors are going to end up in prison because of it. But it's the time of the end. It's the tribulation. These are the headlines that would read tribulation. Back to you.
Yes, brother. I am quite excited. I feel like we better bunker down and embrace But I'm excited because I feel like if you do see these things happen, he said, when you see these things happen, look up and lift up your head because you're about ready to go home. Your redemption's coming near, you see. But in this issue of Israel, there's no rational explanation because of the fixation with and the hatred of Israel. It's just not rational. Israel is particularly a decent country, and it's a tiny, about the size of New Jersey and smaller than El Salvador. And while there are more than 50 Muslim countries, there's only one Jewish one, and she should be admired and supported and not hated to the extent where there's dozens of countries whose populations would like to see them annihilated. Again, a unique phenomenon, and I know of no other country that's targeted for extermination as Israel. And let me share this headline with you, brother, which just was 2 weeks ago. The Turkish president calls on Muslims to invade Jerusalem. Unfortunately, it says in the scripture, we the Muslims, this is the president speaking, lost our aim to head towards Jerusalem. The water of our eyes froze, making us blind, and our hearts that was destined to beat for Jerusalem is now in said condition for rivalry, being in a state of war with each other. Erdogan's desire to end strife and unite Sunnis and Shiites to aim towards Jerusalem was made in central Turkey, in which he expressed his desire for the place to become suitable for Muhammad's ascension to heaven and descent to Jerusalem. This is a place where he claims it's the cause of goodness, and that's where we should be ascending from heaven over all the Muslim nations in Jerusalem. And so he called on the citizens to raise their hands in supplication for this blessed night towards Allah to restore the Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is in Jerusalem, to be re-owned by Muslims and to remove the mist from their eyes to see Jerusalem in their hands at every moment and at every opportunity. And he said, when you mention the word ascension, the first thing that comes to mind is Jerusalem and the Al-Aqsa Mosque, while he expressed deep regret for the condition of the Muslim heedlessness for Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem while they are fighting against each other. Brother Dan, it's evident to me, all eyes are heading in that direction. Missiles are pointed that way. The International Criminal Court is coming, and in the days of the prophets, what they spoke of this particular time is becoming very evident. And,
amen.
So,
good time to break in. We've got less than a minute, and we have to go to a station break. So why don't you tell them where they can find Sure Word of Prophecy?
Sure. It's surewordprophecy.org, and I have just made three other presentations. I've videoed them this last weekend, and they are going to be available. And I do not sell anything. I just, you want a DVD, just write me and give me your address, and I'll send you one, and then spread the word. It's my intent to bring this trumpet a certain sound, and friends, it's an exciting time we live in.
Amen. Well, folks, we'll be back in 3 minutes with more from Steve Henderson and Jesus.
Don't go away. Pastor Dan will be right back.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $149. $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
studies have shown that the farm soil we get our vegetables from is dead, meaning it is depleted of minerals. Sulfur is a mineral. Sulfur has been depleted from the soil, which means most people have been depleted of sulfur. Sulfur has been found to transport oxygen throughout the body. You need oxygen. You need organic sulfur. American Voice Radio Network has organic sulfur. Go to AmericanVoiceRadio.com and then to the Superstore to order your organic sulfur. It's your choice. Do you want to feel better or not? Don't forget to tune in to the Sulfur Hour Plus One on AmericanVoiceRadio.com Thursdays, 6 p.m. Pacific.
Unemployment insurance running out, jobs leaving the country. Many people cannot afford to eat or keep a roof over their head. Too many can do neither. Messiah's Branch has a mission church in Wichita, Kansas that helps the victims of this banker's economy, the American people. Your neighbors. The mission is the last hope for so many Americans. We need your help to lift up the poorest of the poor. These are men, women, and children who once had homes, now in the street. They all need what you need. First aid, beds, food, clothing, and so on. You can send a monetary gift or a box of necessities to 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Or donate online by going to WichitaHomeless.com. Or simply call 316-619-4886. 316-619-4886.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Back. This is Pastor Dan Catlin, and you're listening to Messiah's Branch Prophecy Hour on the American Voice Radio Network. Folks, please remember to pray tonight about a donation for our work with the homeless and poor from our mission church in Wichita, Kansas. And yes, I know I say this over and over in every program, but you know what? We're getting ready to start our 16th year doing this, and so we really do need your help, because you are the people that support this. The poor don't have the money to pay for it, and I'm not an independently wealthy man. In fact, the house that I live in, I'm not living in a mansion. I'm living in a house that I paid for back taxes, like $1,500, and it's a shack. They would have tore it down if I wouldn't have bought it. But you know what? I raised all my family here, and so we don't squander, you know, money or whatever. Our money goes to the ministry. We give. Our life is built around taking care of the people and warning you folks out there on radio. And, you know, just like my wife, when she found out this happened, and it happened at the mission, what happened before she got to the mission church, the symptoms of a stroke that she had on Friday, I said, well, you know, that's what it is, symptoms of a stroke. You need to go to the hospital. She flat refused to let me call 911 or go to the hospital until she finished the dinner, fed the people, and then cleaned the mission church, and then finally at 6 o'clock, she allowed me to take the doctor. Smart? No, it wasn't smart, but that's what she does, because she gives her life for everyone else. And so what I am asking, though, is I want you to consider this. Right now, you know, we When the money comes into the ministry, you know, we both have our jobs in the ministry. And, you know, my job is, you know, I do all the research. I do radio. I minister to people. There's tons of things that I do. Well, my wife has her jobs, too. One of her jobs is when the money comes in, I pass the money to her, and she figures out and pays the bills. So she stresses over the bills more than anybody. Well, with this aneurysm, she's supposed, until we get it fixed, and probably even after, but until we get it fixed, she's not supposed to be into any stress. And so, you know, what I'm praying is that some folks will come forward and help us get the rest of the money that's needed, that'll come later in the month. I want it to come now in the month so we can hurry up and get the bills paid for the ministry. I'm not asking for personal stuff, so we can get the ministry bills paid and so my wife won't stress about it. So pray about a donation, and I really pray that you guys will go and listen to our other programs. It's already on ABR and their archives. It'll be in our archives in about an hour. But that you listen to the program that I did about what happened. But pray about it. Pray about the Father's Little Mission Church. You know, people come to us that just don't have anything. Some of them are homeless. Some of them are people that are fighting to keep a roof over their heads or been squished into part-time jobs. So pray about it, folks. And remember, you know, we are responsible to help care one for another, as we are our brother's keepers. Donations, no matter what size, helps. But the Father notices all donations that come from where? Your heart. You can donate online or by mailing a check or money order. And you can find all this information at prophecyhour.com. That's prophecyhour.com. Or call me at 620-878-4682. And if you want to, if you're in Wichita, you can stop by the Wichita Mission Church and say hello. And that way. Oh, and you folks in Wichita, again, one thing that we are going to need, because I don't know if you noticed the egg prices going way, way up, and they're going to go up for a while, is we need eggs. So we go through about anywhere from 8 to 15 dozen a day. So if you want to buy some eggs and bring them by, that's appreciated too. Anyway, I'm going to let you go and get back to our prophecy program that we're having with Steve Henderson. And he seems to be telling Israel is completely surrounded by armies from the sound of it. So we're back now with you, Steve. Sorry for the jumbleness. It's just that I'm not quite back together yet.
Well, brother, it's very understandable, man, when you have been living with a woman and loved a woman as you have and ministered with a woman in your ministry you do. And, man, I just so much appreciate what you do. And I can sure relate with how the women, they get a little worried about things. And I hope that your listeners heard that appeal to send in some help for your ministry. There's no greater thing to support, in my opinion. Instead of a big, huge building with stained glass windows and pipe organs, you're in the ranks and files of those who are poor and afflicted. And, brother, I highly commend you for your ministry and hope that others will stand behind you and support you in this. Well,
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Good. You know, we talk about Israel, and I think it's so imperative to have a biblical perspective, and of course, it's the only one that we can have. We can't look at it through naturalistic eyes. But according to scriptures, the conflict started in the heavens, and I'm going to try to bring it down to its lowest common denominator, and it's what you call the battle between two superpowers. Well, actually, one isn't really a superpower. Thank you, it's a superpower. But, you know, in the beginning, of course, Yahweh created his creation to make their own choices. I'm thankful for that. And there would be a risk in making your own choices. So, you know, love and to be loved was the main mission. And love has a circumscribed path. And in the cosmos, there was order and specific parameters which define Yahweh's way of love. And in his government, his law mandated it. And choices could be made in support regarding his universal order, or it could choose to fight against it. So in creating his creation, he didn't program robots, but he chose those to have the objects of his love to have free will. And he understood the risk involved would be ultimately have disastrous consequences. And so, unfortunately, with choice, as you know, no one can truly understand right until they've embraced the wrong. So not all of the angels were in agreement with their maker, and there was a villain in the ranks who evidently had the wrong perspective and, of course, made some fatal choices. And one angel began to oppose Yahweh, and it began with a doubt and unbelief and jealousy in him. And then pride crept in, and shortly thereafter the door opened up for the conception of death and destruction. And so, you know, the conflict that was there was translated down here. And, of course, we recognize that his intent and his mindset was found in through the prophet Isaiah. Prophet Isaiah said, how you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning, for you said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will put my throne above the star god, I will ascend above the height of the clouds, I will be like the Most High, I will sit on the mount of the congregation on the sides of the north. So the sin of self-centeredness became a tragedy and a fascinating of a harmonious creation. It all started with eye trouble. And then Ezekiel also gives a little bit more of a picture of this conflict that was there and then it was translated down here. Ezekiel declared that Lucifer was a seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. He was the anointed cherub of covers, and he was on the holy mountain of Yahweh. And he was perfect in all of his ways from the day he was created until iniquity was found in him. And his heart was lifted up because of his beauty and corrupted because of his wisdom and the sake of his splendor. And this mighty angel of magnificence began to get the big head, you know. And so the creator began to see himself as a creator, and Lucifer coveted position and glory that belonged only to Yahweh. And so this disillusioned angel became the centerpiece and author of evil intent. And the Bible, when it was created, started with the book of Genesis. And, of course, in the third chapter, we find the adversary showing up in that beginning story. Yahweh created the earth. And then, of course, according to Paul, this is the theater of the universe here. And this is a place where Lucifer's intent would be clearly articulated and identified. And so when he created Adam and Eve, he shows up in the garden and, of course, contradicted Yahweh's word. That he said, if you eat the fruit of the tree of there, you're going to die. And, of course, we all know what happened there. And then he made a prophecy to the devil in Genesis 3. He said, you know, I'm going to put enmity between your seed and the woman's, and it's going to crush your head at some point in time. And so Satan, recognized that his word was truth. And so immediately he went out to try to take out the human family and even started with the first two sons, Cain and Abel. And then, of course, the flood comes and he tried to wipe out the entire human race. But, his philosophy, if there's no humans around, then there's no seed that can be born. If there's no seed born, then there's no Messiah King and no Savior, and therefore he wins. And, then Abraham was picked by Yahweh, and he told Abraham, look, your seed is going to be the sand of the sea. And so this selection put a target on Abraham and his descendants that Satan could zero in on. And so his focus was to take out Abraham, and, of course, you know the trouble he went through. And little did he know that when Abraham chose to live for Yahweh, that would harass him and the race. His race and his genealogy for the rest of the book and beyond. And before one can understand where Satan would attack, one must understand the three unconditional promises that was gave to Abraham. One, he would become a great nation, and he would have children who eventually multiply into a great people, and as far as the east and the west. And he would be blessed through Abraham, and his offspring would be own a piece of real estate called the Middle East, today called Israel. And that resulted in an attempt to exterminate him through 400 years of slavery. Of course, we recognize that his seed went down into Egypt, and through one of the kings there in Egypt, he grabbed a hold of the government to achieve his goal. And that 70-person clan came to a million-plus nation. And so he moved for Pharaoh to kill all the Hebrew male at birth. But Satan couldn't keep Yahweh from choosing the people through there, and the king tried to eliminate the seed, and of course they put Moses in a basket, and you know what happened there. But the master disaster understood that Yahweh would intervene through the seed of a woman. So he studied the prophecies more than you and I would ever study them. And he understood that there would be a time when there would be a child born who would be called Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and one who would sit on David's throne and there would be no end to his government. And so he studied those prophecies. He studied the prophecies of Micah. Go ahead, brother. You want to say something?
Yeah, I do, and I can't let this get past me. You know, you mentioned that from the seed of woman, you know, would crush Satan's head, correct?
Yes.
Okay, you know, if we go back to the Garden of Eden, and isn't it, look how much the Father really loves women, because, you know, while Eve did what she did, and he gave her a punishment, before he ever punished her, he blessed her in the greatest way that I could think that he could, by allowing her seed to crush the devil before he ever administered any kind of a punishment to the woman. He gave her the greatest blessing a woman could have, would be to have Messiah. So that's how much the Father loves women. Back to you.
That's right, brother. That's right. You know, I think a lot of people put women in the wrong position, but all throughout the scriptures, it was a woman and women that were at the cross of Calvary. You know, all the men had scattered. You know, so
yeah,
anyway,
I'm sorry I interrupted your chain of thought.
No, brother, I appreciate your insight. You compliment everything I say so well. So, you know, Satan began to study all the prophets and was listening very attentively, and he knows scripture well, you know, more than you and I and anyone. In fact, he quoted scripture to Yeshua in the desert, but left out part of it. But he understood that the prophet Micah had declared the Messiah's birthplace, and so he was looking for something to happen around Bethlehem. And I wonder at times if Satan was behind the census that brought Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem. Anyway, they had to return home, and he might have been trying to make his job easier, as every person in David's house had to return to Bethlehem to register for the census. So, nevertheless, this child had to be born in Bethlehem, and Satan wanted to make sure that the child got to Bethlehem because he had another tool waiting to use, which was Herod the Great. And, of course, we recognize the scripture declared that Herod the Great was known for killing anyone and everyone who might challenge his authority, and he killed even his own sons and wife to keep him secure on the throne, according to history. Satan had a willing instrument in him, and when the Magi showed up asking where the king of the Jews were born, of course, Herod became interested, and so he killed every male child within, you know, in Bethlehem for 2 years old and younger. And he wanted to make sure this seed never lived past the year 2 years old, so he thought he would take out the Messiah that way. Well,
didn't work.
Then he go ahead.
I just said it didn't work.
It sure didn't work, brother. And it never will work. His plan will never work. In fact, we know who wins, you know. In fact, he's already won. We just have this semblance that he has some type of control over us. Really, he doesn't. So the seed did not come not to reign, but he came to suffer, die, and rise again to destroy the works of the devil. And the original evil thought he could conquer the Creator, and he put the Savior to death, and you know, the one who proclaimed to be the Savior of humanity. And so he puts before the children of Israel murder and the Messiah at Passover, and they chose, of course, Barabbas. And yes, he was crucified. But, brother, 3 days later, he rose again from the dead, and grave could not hold him, and now he holds the keys himself. And one day, he had the key to lock up the old devil. Amen? Satan tried to stop this and couldn't. So according to the prophet, the seed will also come again at a time when they would look on him and whom they have pierced. And because this hasn't happened yet, we now have Satan's strategy from here on out to destroy the Jewish race and anyone who's under Yeshua's banner. And Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. And his tactics from the first century to now are no different than the ones he used in the past. Assimilation, expulsion, extermination. And you look at the history of the Crusades, the Spanish Inquisition, the Russian pogroms, the German Holocaust. And now the Muslims haven't done anything new under the sun. And his tactics are simply being repeated over and over again. And so, you ever wonder why the current president and Grand Ayatollah of Iran, Hamas, Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, Islamic Jihad, ISIS, Al-Aqsa Martyrs Brigade, and other leaders want to wipe Israel off the map? Ever wonder why there's so much fighting over a city that has no natural resources nor has any strategic value, really? But it's because Messiah will reign from Jerusalem, Israel, in Israel. And Satan will make every stop to move to selfish prophecy in the future as well. Remember, he said, I want to sit on the mount of the congregation on the sides of the north. We know where that's. We know where that place is, the mount of the assembly. And it said right down to that place where the promise was made with Abraham when he raised that knife against the child of promise, Isaac. And it's going right back down to that place on the mountain of Moriah again. And that's where Lucifer wants to sit and say, this place is mine. And so we see that there's going to be a constant struggle and an attempt to overtake this place, because Satan one day wants to sit there and say, I'm the one. And we find in the a snapshot of this final vicious attack within the context of a future 3.5 year period. And I don't know how much time I have, but I would like to read what the book of Revelation declares about this.
5 minutes.
5 minutes, okay. The prophet declares, a great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with a sun, this is Revelation 12, and a woman and the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars. And she was with child, and she cried out, being in labor and pain to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his heads were 7 diadems. Now we find this sign in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun with the moon under her feet, and on her head a crown of 12 stars, and we see a dragon very attentive to this woman, which is identified as a crown of 12 stars, in which we recognize symbolizes Yahweh's people. And his tail swept a third part of the stars and threw them to the earth, and a dragon stood before the woman that was about to give birth, and she gave birth that he might devour her child. And then she gave the birth of a son, a male child who is to rule all the nations with the rod of iron. Her child was cut up to Yahweh and to his throne. Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by Yahweh, so they would be nourished there 1,260 days. Now, this war is coming, brother. This is in a context of times and a half, in between Revelation 11 and Revelation 13, 5 times this particular time is mentioned. And by the way, this dragon has 7 heads and 10 horns. So this, and we recognize this is in the context of this 7-headed, 10-horned beast that's looking at the woman, and it's waiting for a child to be born. Now, we're not going to get in. I have in a couple minutes to go through a bunch here, but there is a war coming. And there was no place found left for Satan, and the great dragon was thrown down, who's called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. Now, apparently, he deceived the whole world, and he's thrown down to the earth, his angels were thrown down with him. And then there was a voice in heaven saying, now the salvation, power, and kingdom of our God and authority of his Messiah have come, and the accuser of our brethren who had thrown down, who accuses them before our Yahweh day and night. And so they overcame him when he was accused in God's people before the throne. Then a time came when the war came. He was cast to the earth, and he was accusing were the ones that overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony. They loved not their life unto the death. And then the proclamation, rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them, but woe into the earth and the sea, because the devil has come down to you, having great wrath, knowing he has a short time. And so it describes this war, and at the time when he is cast to the earth, he goes down and he's enraged with the woman, listen, and goes to make war with the rest of her seed, who keep the commandments of Yahweh and hold to the testimony of Yeshua. Why does the world love to hate Israel? It's not a geopolitical problem, brother. It's not a logical or rational issue. It's not about land. It's about a spiritual problem, Satan versus Yahweh. And we know who wins, brother. And this doesn't matter to Satan. He'll continue to try to destroy Yahweh's people, no matter where they live. And if Satan can get rid of the entire Jewish race, there's no reason for Yeshua to come back. At least that's his philosophy. So, and the good news is, yes, there's a coming war, and it's very obvious that if you'll keep your eyes posted on the news and you see the things that are going on in Israel and recognize the prophecies that determine that he is going to bring all the nations and all the world opinion against Israel at some point in time. And this is going on before our very eyes, and they have missiles in place, and they have nations in place that hate Israel, and they're wanting to do sanctions against Israel now. They're wanting to take Israel to a criminal court, and there is a coming war against that place that's unsurpassed anything that we've ever seen before. And Yeshua said that when you see the armies encompassed around Jerusalem, know that the desolation is near. And he did it in the context, for then will be great tribulation such as ever was. I know there was a destruction in AD 70, but there's one that's coming, an occupation, where the Gentiles are going to tread down the holy city 42 months. And that's a sign for Yahweh's people to get ready, because we're going home, brother.
Wow, that's some heavy stuff.
Oh, you haven't heard the half of it. I wish you had two or three more programs to
oh, share. You do. Well, did you hear that, folks? He just committed to come on two or three more times.
Oh,
well, okay. I'll be sure and send you some dates, because I'm getting ready to fill my calendar next week. I'm not going to worry about it. But you know, you always get these people that they'll say, "Yeah, I'm going to be on," and then you get them, and you're not one of them, and then they either cancel at the last minute or they don't even tell you they cancel. Those are the people that drive me crazy. But summertime, Steve, it's always harder to get guests because people are all out running around and everything, and so it's a little harder to get guests. But anyway, I'm going to send you some dates, and we are going to have some other people back on, folks. We've got some new people coming up, and you're going to enjoy this summer's radio programming. Anyway, Steve, I'm so glad you come back on, and we'll have you again. And tell them where your website's at, and tell them what they can find over there.
Okay, it's surewordprophecy.org. And I encourage you people who are watching to take a look at my prophetic news. I try to keep that updated. Anything that I feel is related to prophecy, I'm on about 50 to 60 websites a day in the Middle East news and stuff. And if I see something that's important, I'll post it there. So I'll keep you all informed about what's going on, and give the trumpet a certain sound. May Yahweh bless all of you. I appreciate you, Brother Dan, very much. Love you.
All right. I appreciate
and
you.
I will be in prayer very, very much for your family and for your wife at this time in need, okay?
Okay. We'll make it, and we'll see you or talk to you again. You be blessed, brother. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Folks, well, amen. The time is getting closer. There's a lot over in the Middle East. Look at Israel like the prophetic time clock. There are certain things that said would happen with Israel, and it would happen in the time of the end. And, you know, all the nations are supposed to come against Israel, but the big thing is this. America will be the one that isn't helping because of the fact that they are going to have to call out to the Father and call out and recognize Yeshua, because it will be Yeshua that puts his feet on the Mount of Olives. And he does come back to save the Jewish people because he loves them, and they are his people. It's just like your children, they go astray. Well, he's going to give them another chance. But they will call out to him. They will have, because we must remember, folks, that there is only one God, and he is the Father. He's the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. His son is Yeshua HaMashiach. He gave his life for repented sins, and he rose 3 days and three nights after being in the heart of the earth. And through him is the only way to the Father. That doesn't change for the Jews. They will have to call out to him to be saved, and they will call out to him to be saved. That's what the scriptures say. So, just pray about supporting North Wichita Mission Church. We do really need your help. We're starting our 16th year. June 13th will be our start of our 16th year. And we've been on radio a long time. I've actually been on doing radio since 2001, but I think AVR started in 2004, and that's when I started with them when they first started. So pray about supporting our time. Lord our God, Father King Universe, ask in Yeshua HaMashiach's name that the Father blesses and keeps you, and his face shines upon you, and is gracious to you, and gives you peace like no one or nothing else can. Until next Thursday, this is Pastor Dan saying goodbye and shalom.
You've just heard the Messiah's Branch broadcast featuring Pastor Dan. To contact Dan on the internet, go to messiahsbranch.org. To write to Dan, send a note to Messiah's Branch, 230 West 4th Street, Florence, Kansas, 66851. Tune in next time for the Messiah's Branch.